The war on terror has created some unexpected legal situations. For instance, lawyers who cannot speak with their clients. NPR's Larry Abramson spoke with two attorneys who are trying to represent people to whom they can't speak. He has this report.
Attorney Frank Dunham looks like a man who likes his job as he strolls through the public defender's office in Richmond, Virginia, and greets the staff he's hired.
Hello, Jerry.
Howdy.
Hello, Amy.
When Dunham left his job in private practice 2 years ago, there was no public defender's office in the federal courts for the Eastern District of Virginia. He had to start from scratch. That was challenging enough. Little did he know that he would end up representing some of the most unusual defendants in history. He jokes that he spends much of his time on three cases.
In those three cases, I've had one client who can't talk to me.
That would be Yasser Hamdi. He's a U.S. citizen captured on the battlefield in Afghanistan, now being held in a Navy brig. The government says he's an enemy combatant and has no right to an attorney.
Another client who fired me and thinks I'm trying to kill him.
That would be Zacharias Moussaoui. He's actually been charged with complicity in the 9/11 conspiracy, but he wants to represent himself and won't talk to Dunham.
And a third client who originally didn't want to follow my advice at all on anything. So that's been a big success, I guess, as far as I'm concerned.
That would be a man accused of plain old bank robbery. Dunham has persuaded that client to listen to him, but he says most of his time is spent representing, or not representing, Zacharias Moussaoui. Even though Moussaoui wants to defend himself, the judge in that case says Dunham and his team must act as standby counsel.
Which means we have to prepare the case as if we were going to try it, argue all motions, file all motions, do everything we would do as if we were counsel of record, except when the day of trial comes, if Moussaoui is still representing himself, then we fade into the woodwork and just stand by ready to substitute like the backup quarterback in case the starter gets hurt.
But that standby role keeps Dunham very busy. He's currently writing briefs on Musawi's behalf in his battle to interview alleged Al-Qaeda operatives now being interrogated by the government. The government says Moussaoui may not question these men, partly because any information they have is classified. Dunham says the strangest part of this case is that he often finds the most secret evidence in the Washington Post.
A month later, I would get a piece of information that would confirm what had been in the Post, and then I was told, well, but this is secret, so you can't tell anybody.
Media reports indicate the government could move the Moussaoui case to a military tribunal where the government would have a freer hand. Dunham says Moussaoui might be better off there if the military forced him to accept the legal counsel that he's refusing to accept from Dunham. But it appears unlikely Dunham will ever meet his other high-profile client, Yasser Hamdi. A federal appeals court recently sided with the government's right to hold Hamdi in a Navy brig indefinitely. But Dunham did find something positive in that ruling.
It seemed to suggest that this limitation on someone's ability to challenge the basis for their detention is limited to people detained within a zone of active combat operations on foreign soil.
That could be good news for Donna Newman, who's representing an alleged enemy combatant captured on U.S. soil, Jose Padilla. I caught up with Newman at a restaurant in New York. She shuttles back and forth between various New York courts, juggling her regular work with the Padilla case. He's accused of involvement in a plot to explode a radioactive dirty bomb. When Newman was assigned last year, there were some pretty obvious signs that this was no ordinary case.
One of them was the fact that when I took out my pen to take notes, the marshal took my pen from me.
That was to keep her from taking any notes on classified material. The case only became stranger when the government decided Padilla II is an enemy combatant and Newman couldn't talk to him anymore. She did have several hours of interviews with Padilla after he was initially detained. That was enough time for her to learn that he feels he's innocent, but not enough time to prepare her for the limbo she finds herself in.
Well, we had certainly time to discuss his arrest as a grand jury material witness. We certainly did not have any, nor could I have anticipated, that he would be seized by the military and that I would not be seeing him again. I haven't seen him since, I think, June 6th.
Donna Newman's Twilight Zone assignment will likely continue. The Justice Department recently filed yet another appeal to keep her from meeting with Padilla. So it may be some time before this lawyer from New Jersey can speak with her Brooklyn-born client while he waits in a South Carolina brig after being captured in Chicago for possibly working with Al-Qaeda in the Middle East. Larry Abramson, NPR News, New York.